You've talked some about the regions that tend to get tornadoes. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about Tornado Alley and why we use that term?
Tornado Alley is one of those terms that if you ask 20 people who study the subject, you'll probably get 20 different definitions. We tend to think of it as perhaps including the region that gets the most tornadoes, but also perhaps we get them kind of regularly. You can kind of count on the fact that every year is going to be a pretty good year. If we just do think about the part of the country that gets the most tornadoes, we'd probably draw something that looks kind of like an L or a C shape, maybe, that starts with the bottom left part of the letter would be around Dallas, Texas, over to Midland, Texas, and then maybe up through the High Plains, up into Nebraska, maybe South Dakota. The bottom part of the L would extend perhaps into Mississippi or Alabama, and the top part goes over towards Ohio. Now, if we want to include information about the fact that tornadoes happen almost every year and regularly, then we lose the eastern part of that extension, and maybe we only go as far east as sort of Tulsa or the Oklahoma-Arkansas border, where we get a lot of tornadoes in that region that sort of goes from Midland to Dallas and north for several hundred miles. We get a lot of tornadoes in there, and we also have them almost every year. Most places will have a tornado come pretty close to them.
Let's get a little bit into how we communicate the risk, and maybe if you could talk a little bit about this enhanced Fujita scale.
One of the real challenges we have in studying tornadoes is that we'd like to be able to describe how strong a tornado is. We know that not all tornadoes are the same, but that we don't really get wind measurements very often. It's a very different problem than you have when you look at hurricanes. With hurricanes, we fly aircraft into the hurricanes. The hurricanes are over a fairly large area, and so there's a lot of surface stations that collect data. The chances of a tornado hitting an anemometer are really small, and while we have some mobile radars that can go out and collect information inside the tornado, we still don't see very many tornadoes that way. Maybe 20 or 30 a year out of the 1,200 that happen every year in the United States. So we don't have a very big sample. So in order to estimate how strong the winds are in a tornado, we have to look at what the damage the tornado causes. And to do that, there have been some scales that have been set up to try to look at that basically start by saying, well, how much damage did the tornado itself do? And the oldest and longest serving of those was developed by Ted Fujita at the University of Chicago in the early 1970s. And for years, the National Weather Service rated all tornadoes on the Fujita scale, which was based upon what kind of damage would be caused to a well-built frame home. Well, that causes some problems, because now if you're an engineer, you look at the house and you go, well, that house maybe wasn't really well-built, or this other house was really well-built. And so maybe the differences we see in the winds are because actually the houses were built differently. If the house wasn't attached to the ground very well, then it might fall apart easily. So in 2007, the National Weather Service, after a several-year project to try to improve the Fujita scale, brought out what was called the enhanced Fujita scale, which instead of basing the damage off of just one kind of thing, the well-built frame home, now uses a large number of damage indicators and a large number of degrees of damage. Was the house barely hit, or was it completely destroyed? Were the shingles taken off? Was it a gasoline station awning that was removed? And so now damage estimators can go out and have a much broader range of techniques to try to apply to it. Now, it still needs probably some improvement, because it was not an engineering-rated study. In other words, it wasn't the kind of thing that engineers sat down and wrote equations out and said, you know, here's the amount of force it takes to blow this object down. And so we still have some issues about exactly how to do it. And so hopefully it'll be improved as it goes along, but it does allow estimators a much broader range of information to use when they try to estimate the wind speeds.